So it's the next episode. Standard, you start it with a laugh, like you always do.
I'm not laughing.
You are. That's how you always start these. So, like, once again, it's a, well, mystery topic for me.
Mystery topic for me too.
Well, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah, I know, I come up with it, but I don't come up with it until right now.
Yeah, you're obviously still sounding a bit ill.
Yeah, I know, you're going to do most of the talking because I sound...
It's not
disgusting.
That bad. No, it's not that bad.
I do sound quite bad.
So, have you decided on what we're talking about then?
Yes.
Well then, spell it.
I've got two things in my head and I don't know which one to go for. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're going to go for... It's kind of to do with the blog post you wrote about being the social chameleon.
Okay.
And kind of... I mean, that's like your burger strength? Your burger talent?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to call it that. I think that's funny that there's always that burger talent. That's always one of my favourite things about when people find out that you've got Asperger's and then obviously autism, because they think you have, like, some sort of superpower.
Yeah, like...
Like, here's a violin, play it. Like, I'm sure you've never touched one before, but, like, you've got autism, so you can do. Or are you good at drawing? Or can you, like, I'm going to drop this, like... jar of coins, how much is there just from the sound?
My one was when, like, you said that you think I've got Asperger's, my thing was, I thought in my head, but I don't know what day of the week it was on, like, the 17th of March, 1882, and I thought that was, like, I don't think that's even, is that autistic?
Some people can do that.
There's people that can do that.
Yeah, but that's not, like, that's, I don't know if it's a, I mean, I don't know, I think it's because, like, this is the whole umbrella of Asperger's being under autism. Like, I feel like it probably shouldn't be under autism. Like, I think now if you look at the DSM-5, which is obviously a list of, like, disabilities and, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Asperger's isn't in there anymore now, and it's just blanket autistic spectrum disorder.
Yeah.
So, like, you're technically diagnosed these days as having ASD, which I think that's what my diagnosis has been changed to. But yeah, that's worse, because then that's everybody under there. So yeah, there are people probably with ASD that can do that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, Asperger's is high-functioning autism?
No, they're separate.
Okay.
It is a... I suppose it's a high-functioning form of autism, so it's autism, but you're able to, like... Do you know what I mean? Like, go about your day, like, unsupervised.
Yeah.
But it's not... There are people out there that are classed as having high functioning autism. I suppose, like, I would class, like, not to say any names, but
I think I know who you're thinking of. But
as
yeah.
A pipe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I would class him as high functioning autism, but like, if you compare him to say you or me, like, you can.
Okay.
Definitely...
Yeah. Because the person you're referring to, it's. When you meet him, it's quite obvious that he,
well, I mean, he has
some sort of, like, disability.
And he has a carer.
Yeah.
And, like, he doesn't do stuff on his own. I would class, like, that more anything, but it's a weird one. I would say he's got high-functioning autism, but I would class Asperger's as a form of autism with someone that's able to function properly, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if that's...
Well, this kind of... So, the other... Or one of the other topics that I was going to talk about today could kind of be merged with this, because I was going to go through... So, like, the biggest problem for me with being told you might have Asperger's was, but I can do this, I can do this, so I can't have it because I can do these things. So, I was going to talk about, like, what is typically associated with Asperger's, and then how... It doesn't affect everyone the same, and everyone, there are things that I can't do that you can do and I can't do.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this in the diagnosis thing, but it is kind of down to, I think it's down to the, like, so I think when you're born, I was thinking, we've moved location because the wind was getting too windy. But yeah, I was saying that I think when you're born, like, I think there's this possibility that your Asperger's is the same. So, like, everybody kind of has it the same. And I think it is the way you're raised is...
Like a nature vs. nurture.
Yeah. Like, I think that that's how it works. So I think, like, whatever happens to you as you're growing up is the thing that shapes, like, what your traits will become.
Okay.
Like, me and you had completely different backgrounds, different parents, were from different areas.
Yeah.
You're a girl, which I think we haven't talked about it yet, but, like, between us, not recorded or on an episode, but I have mentioned that spotting Asperger's in girls is much harder.
Yeah.
It's not as easy to do. Most people that get diagnosed are male. I think for one point they believe that more males have autism than females, but I think it's starting to go the way of it's just harder to spot in girls.
Yeah, I mean, the actual, I don't know his first name, but Mr. Asperger.
Hans
Asperger. He originally didn't think girls could get it.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I think when I got diagnosed, the statistics were like 1 in 100 people have it, and something like 1 out of 10 of those is a girl. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's down to it. Like, and like you said, the Social Chameleon post I did was about me adapting. So it's about, I wrote it about like how basically when I was fine until I ended up like being in school. So I think as a child, up until the age of 4, and I know I said that traits that are obvious to people show when you're 4.
Yeah.
But the second I went to nursery school, that's when problems started to happen. So, like, in the nursery school I went to, they had, I remember them having, like, allotted times for stuff. So there was, like, a time when you get to play with, like, the train set, and then after that time runs up, it's that, you know, when they cut, like, a potato in half and you got to paint with it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'd got it in my head, train time, and I'd made, like, my own timetable of, I'm going to be playing with these trains pretty much for the whole time I'm going to be here. So when the time came that they were like, nah, it's now time for potato painting. Like, apparently I just had huge meltdowns and would freak out about it and wouldn't go along with it, to the point where I think my mom was called into school a lot. And the same thing happened, like, when I made it into primary school. You know, I'd be disruptive. I'd have problems, you know, in general, like, with sticking to their timetable and doing the things they wanted to do. I mean, if I'm honest, I still have it now. Like, you wouldn't know it, but I have issues with having a boss of any kind or anyone telling me what to do.
Yeah, I know you don't like authority.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, I know people that are, like, neurotypical have, like, a problem with authority and, like, that whole thing. But I think for me, it's because I have to control my own routines and my own schedule. I can't do, you know, what somebody else wants me to do. It's like, for example, at work now, if I'm on and say, like, I've got a plan for the day and I know what I'm supposed to be getting done, because I'm, like, a member of management, that's fine, because I can create my own routine.
Yeah.
Say, like, the area manager comes in, I get really angry, like, at that point.
Because, I get really angry when he comes in.
Because
as well.
I think, like, well, that's it, like, my whole day is now going to change and he's not going to tell me how.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to wait for it, and it puts you on edge. But yeah, like, back to the point of, like, so that was the problem in school. And the reason that I changed was because I realized that I was always getting into trouble for being a certain way. I mentioned in the last post about relationships that if you're someone that doesn't have friends, you get noticed, like, but noticed in a bad way.
Yeah.
So I had to adapt my entire personality into appearing normal. So I knew I couldn't stick to the routine of a school or the routine of that kind of thing. So what I did is I took on the, I suppose, persona of just a disruptive, like, you know,
child?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, the kid that, there's always that kid that, like, knows what he's supposed to be doing, but is purposely going out of his way to be, like, a menace to the class.
Yeah.
So I just kind of took on that personality, and that personality always gets you noticed with other kids. So other kids always want to be friends with that guy that makes jokes and says things to the teacher that, like, ooh, should he have said that to the teacher? But really it was just because I needed to go about doing my own thing, but instead of throwing, like, the tantrum that I'd throw, like, in nursery school, I just made it, like, my act for the day. But I didn't understand how normal personalities work or how normal people naturally become that kind of person. So I took my examples from, like, characters in films. So, like, I used to watch a lot of TV, movies, that kind of thing as a kid. And I'd find those characters that had personalities that were relevant or were what I thought is who I should be for the sake of my own, like, agenda at school. And just started nicking personality traits of these, like, fictional characters to, to get through the day, basically. Because if I'm honest, like I told you before, I can't read. So
yeah,
I mean, I can read, like I can, I recognize words on page, but I can't read like books or leaflets or anything that's basically got more than a side. And if the words are too small or too close together, I can't read. And it's an autism thing. Like halfway through a page, my brain will just start interrupting what I'm trying to focus on with, oh, what about this? And, you know, you've got to have dinner later. And, like, what time is it? And, oh, maybe we should, like, buy this outfit off this website. And, like, before you know it, I am not reading anything. Like, so I've never been able to read a book. I've never read a book. Like, I listen to audiobooks now because I can do that. But even then with audiobooks, like, I have found myself, like, you know, you can do that rewind by, like, 30 seconds. I do that a lot because I do. And sometimes it happens with movies where I'm watching it and I'm just like, what? So I have to wind it back, you know, because I don't follow it. So I have that problem with like those kind of mediums. So like reading is out. But in school, like reading's like a thing, like paying attention to the board, paying attention to someone talk for ages about something you can't focus on. I mean, if I'm honest, like there's loads of stuff that I just didn't learn to do until I just somehow managed to teach myself a lot older. Like, I know one of the things I couldn't do is now how many times I tried to teach me in school, I couldn't tell time until I was like 12.
Okay.
Because I just couldn't do it. Even with digital watches, like, I couldn't figure out, like, what was happening. It wasn't till I just figured it out. Like, it was weird. I just remember not paying attention in a lesson and staring at a clock for ages and just working it out myself because I couldn't concentrate on anyone else trying to teach me. And, you know, like, if I'm at work or if I'm at school, the second someone goes, oh, I'm going to show you how to do this, if I'm honest, I just sort of go, okay, I'm just going to nod along and I'm not really listening.
Yeah, I notice that about you if I try and show you anything at work.
Yeah, I don't want to know. Like, if I know someone else that knows how to do it, I'll just get them to do it. Or I just think, I don't need to know this yet, so I'm not going to. Or it's not that time of the day for me to be learning. You know, like someone goes, like I'm busy doing something, someone goes, I'm going to teach you how to do this. I just think, nah, like it is not in my schedule today to be learning that. I mean, I think I've gone on a bit of a tangent here, but like...
No, no, like this is, it's a loose topic.
Yeah, I suppose.
Just talk about but, you and...
But yeah, I mean, but then that's where we're different. Like, you can read a book. You've read loads of books.
Yeah, I struggle a lot more with listening than reading. Like, what you were saying about rewinding the audiobooks, I do that a lot. But, like, not just 30 seconds. I sometimes have to go back chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with, at uni, lectures. I've never been able to sit in a lecture and listen for more than 5 minutes max. I can't listen to someone talk to me. I have to read to learn. So I can take it in if I'm reading it, but if I'm listening to someone talk about it, I'll have thought about 20 other things by the time I realise that I'm meant to be listening.
Yeah, I mean, same for me, for uni. It was horrible. Like, I'd go into these big lectures, and some days I'd think, okay, I'm definitely going to listen today. Yeah. I'm paying for this. This is getting me in debt. Make sure you listen. And I found that the more I focused on listening, the less I listened.
Yes.
And you just lose time. It's bizarre. Like, you just go, yeah, I'm listening. Okay, that's a good point, what he's saying. And then you're, like, I suppose the Asperger part of your brain goes, hey, we're going to have to catch a bus later.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of go, are we? Maybe I'll just walk it. I can walk it. How far is it? I don't think it's raining. There's no windows in this room, but I can't see outside. But... I'm pretty sure it wasn't raining when I was coming. I think I checked the weather. There's no rain. It could rain. But if it rains, like, it doesn't matter. I'm walking home anyway. I can dry and then bam, 45 minutes of the lecture has gone. And then you somehow, like, come back into the room.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, I have not been listening to anything that's being said here. And I had that problem in school, like, all the time.
Yeah.
But when the teacher used to go, like, so, like, when I was in, like, primary school, they'd go, like, Nikki, have you been listening to anything I've been saying? You just sort of go, I used to be like, yeah. And then they'd be like, repeat it. And you'd be like, like try and like guess and get it wrong. And then all the kids laugh at you. And that makes you feel like bad, like, cause they know you haven't been listening. But if you just sort of go, no, like that was like a whole thing. Then I realized that was different. Like your school kids would like, ha, like he doesn't care. So I just applied this like kind of personality of, like, I'm not bothered. This is a waste of time, to hell with school. And that for some reason helped me like blend in and appear normal.
Yeah.
And you don't have like, anything anyone would notice as, like, autistic. Like I said, like, I managed to make it till I was 26. So that was, like, school, college twice, uni three times. And no one ever went, have you realised, like, nobody, like, all the authority figures, anyone that would have spotted it. And I know, like, in, like, I mean, I was born in 85. By the time I went to primary school the first time, it was 89, like, 90.
Yeah.
I made it to secondary school in 96. Like, I know around then, like, Asperger's wasn't, like, that big a thing, and it wasn't hard to recognise. But I figured by the time I got to uni, like, that I went to uni in, like, 2006. So, like, at that point, I feel like it would have been recognised. I know some people that are in their, like, teens now that were diagnosed when they were four, so it makes sense. And for a long time, I, like, blamed everyone because I was just like, how have none of you noticed this? I wouldn't have known. But then I realised that this, like I said, the social chameleon thing, I've just got so good at, like, appearing like everybody else that you wouldn't notice. Nobody notices now. Like at work, I do risk assessments for other people within the company that have Asperger's because I know how to talk to them and that kind of thing. And I know that a lot of workplaces, companies, that kind of thing, know about it, but they have, like, basic things in need, and I feel like having someone that has it helps. But every time I spoke to anyone about it, they just go, oh yeah, but you manage it really well, or like, this is why it doesn't seem so bad with you, because you can't tell, you wouldn't know with you. And that, I suppose, is, like you said, it is my, you know, being able to recite a date from, like, the medieval times of who was king. I can't do that, but what I can do is appear completely like everybody else, like there's nothing going on. Like, internally, I'm all over the place, but externally, you would never know with me that I had anything.
Yeah, you're very good at blending in, and you can talk to anyone. Like, you're very good at adapting to whatever group you're in.
Yeah, I mean, that's easy, though. But the thing is I have, like, this mad theory, which is how it works. For me, there's only about, like, say, 10 or 11 faces that exist in the world.
Yeah.
And everybody has the same face to me. Everybody. Yeah. So if I'm honest, everyone I've ever looked like looks like someone else that I know. So if I see a stranger, they look like someone else I've met. And that's how I see faces in general, is they all have the same features to me and they all look similar. And because of that, I've kind of stereotyped each one and given each one a personality. So each face has a different type of personality, and I treat that face the same way as I, every time I meet one, I treat it the same way I met the last person that had that face. And because of that, I can talk to anyone and not strangers. So, like, if I meet a stranger, most people with Asperger's couldn't talk to strangers. Strangers freak them out. But for me, I can talk to a stranger. Like, when we've been out to restaurants and, like, when they've forgotten a part of the order.
Oh, it's hideous.
And you start freaking out and can't even, like, watch me do it, where I go, excuse me, I think you might have forgotten this. And they go, oh yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, sorry. Like, when you know I'm about to do it, like, I feel like you want to either get under the table or just run away. But, like, for me, their face fits one of the patterns or structures of, like, how I interact with that particular type of person. So asking that person where my stuff is easy, because for me it feels like I'm speaking to someone I've already spoke to before.
Yeah, I mean, that's a talent in itself, because, like you say, I cannot do that at all. If I was on my own and they'd forgotten something, I would just leave it forgotten and have paid for something that never showed up. Like, I wouldn't ask.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's the big difference between me and you, is I'm able to do that. But that is just years of, like, teaching myself how to do that. And that's just from, like, realizing, like, what I suppose, like you said, like, with the high functioning autism and the guy we've mentioned that has a carer, like, his carer will do all that stuff for him.
Yeah.
And when we're out together, like, I'm not your carer, but I'll do that stuff.
you do kind of take on a carer like role.
I do that stuff for you. Yeah. But that's because, like, growing up, I didn't have someone that would do that stuff for me.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, you've got parents that'll do that kind of thing for you, but your parents are just like, you do it.
Yeah.
Like, you see it all the time in, like, where we work, like, when a child wants something and you see the parent going, well, go ask then.
Yeah.
So you have that. And, like, even though as a child that caused me, like, massive anxiety and freak out, and, like, when I used to talk to them, I'd get, like, panicky, like,
sweaty, like, you're like, you get your heart starts going mental, and you're like, oh my god, I'm next in the queue, like, oh Jesus, like, and all you're asking is like, excuse me, do you have this in stock? Which for the person behind the counter, that's like, yeah, we'll have a look, no problem. But for you, you're just like, oh god, like, I don't know what the outcome of this conversation's gonna be. Are they gonna have it? What if they do have it? Like, am I gonna have to walk with them to the part in the shop where it is? Are they just gonna point it out? Like, what if they don't have it? Like, that's what we've come in here for. Does that mean we've got to go to another shop that might have it, and then I'm gonna have to do this again? Like, you start having all these like weird, crazy thoughts. So I think some younger version of me just decided to make up this face thing.
Yeah.
I don't know where it comes from, but everyone to me looks the same. It's bizarre. Like, even if I look at someone that I have definitely never seen before, their face shape is not unique to me. It looks like somebody else that I've spoken to before. And it's the same with people, the way people dress. So the way people dress and like their outfits they choose to wear, to me, tells me what kind of personality they've got. So I've learned how to associate the way someone looks with who they are as a person. I've noticed that's easy to do. And as much as everyone's like, well, that's not, you can't do that, you can do that.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that has always worked. I don't think I've ever not assessed someone based on their face and what they're wearing to determine what kind of personality they've got, to determine what kind of personality I should have when I talk to them, and have that go wrong where I've totally misjudged the situation.
Yeah.
For basic small talk, I'm going to have this quick conversation with you and we're never going to talk again after this. It works like every time. And that's got me through so much stuff. Like, the only problem I've had is, like, you have, like, routine personalities. So the only times it's gone wrong for me is because I have a problem with authority and, like, people in charge of me. Job interviews are one of those things where I will go into it with the same mentality of when I was in school, because that's what that environment feels like. You're sat in it behind a desk, someone's asking you questions. My brain will automatically go, what personality do we need to use in here? And it goes, school personality. You know, and then it's like, why do you want this job? And you're just like, because stuff costs money. Like, do you know what I mean? Or like that kind of stuff. Or I have a hard time with the whole possibility of, you've got to answer, behave a certain way in interviews, that the person behind the counter knows that you're behaving a certain way because you're in an interview, but they expect those key things. It's like you said at that uni thing you did the other day where they said you've got to talk in a nicer accent than the accent you've got. You've got to shake hands. You've got to make eye contact. And it's like one of those things when you do an interview, you tell them a load of stuff that's kind of true, but it's
exaggerated.
Yeah, and they know you're doing that. And they know that you'll say anything to get this job, but they expect you to jump through the interview hoops. And because I see that whole structure, it's impossible for me to follow it. Because I know it's nonsense. And the second I realise something is nonsense, like, I can't follow it. And I'm already in the mindset of, you're not the boss of me, and who made you in charge of deciding on whether or not I get a job? You know what I mean? So, it's a weird one, but I am able to go into interviews. But the trouble is if the person behind the desk has a face that fits a personality that I don't particularly like, which there are some of the groups of people I lumber people in, there are certain faces and dress senses that I do not like, and it won't matter what kind of person they are. I am pretty much rude the second we start talking, because I assume that this person is the person that I met before, that whoever originally started this, like, stereotype look was rude to me in the first place, and I've now installed that into every time I meet that particular setup of a person. I go straight into, nah, like, we've had this conversation before, we didn't get along, therefore I don't like you. So if I go to an interview and the guy's behind the counter like, oh, so you've said you can do this, do you? What makes you think that? I'm just kind of like, what? Who are you, like, to question me? Of course I can do it. Like, do you know what I mean? So, like, there are, like, downsides to that whole experience. The same with customers that come in the store that we work in. Like, same, if they fit the structure of someone that I do not enjoy that particular personality or thing, like, it makes it harder for me to talk to them. But then if someone has, like, the opposite, has one of the really good combinations that I enjoy, they can be completely horrible to me. But I'll be like, no, well, I still like this person, because it's like regimented in my head now that is that person. So it doesn't matter what they tell me, I can be like, ha, you're still great, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I I mean, I have a kind of similar thing with the, there's a type of person. I mean, you know that there's a type of person that I will instantly dislike.
Well, yours is similar to mine, but mine's, I would say mine's more, it's hard to explain what mine is. I, when talking to my psychotherapist-y woman, when, you know, the one I paid for, she said that what I'm doing is something that everybody does, but everybody does it on an unconscious level. So there's a deep part of, like, your unconscious mind that does that when they talk to people, and it's how people make friends or like certain people and that kind of thing, you know, their type in a relationship and that kind of thing. Apparently, I'm doing that, but on a conscious level, and I'm aware of it. So she said that that was a really good thing, that I can do that, and it's, like, it's a talent to be able to do that. Higher up, because I found a part of, like, my unconscious mind, and I now use it at, like, a conscious level that I can control. But for you, you kind of do, like, social groups, or, do you know what I mean? Like, not to put too fine a point on it, but if someone's, like, quite posh, middle class, like, has a lot of money, but wants you to know they've got a lot of money and see themselves as, like, the winners in life because they have more money than you, you automatically, and I know for, like, normal people, they probably don't like that either, and you always people saying, oh, I don't like people that are like this or like that, but they, because you have, like, the normal functioning, like, empathy, sympathy, social cues, that kind of thing, their brain will go, but don't do it, like, don't judge a book by its cover, like, maybe they're not that bad, but because you're on the spectrum, because your brain doesn't have that filter, you just let them know that you don't like them. And it might not be a case of they come up to you and you go, nah, I don't like you, like, whatever. But there's definitely your tone and the way you, like, interact with them changes the second they're, like, do you know what I mean? They could walk up in a suit, pull up in, like, a brand new car, and talk to you like, excuse me, assistant, like, you will be doing everything for me. And I can see that in you. Like, you just sort of go, nah, like, I feel like no one's ever taken you down a peg and treated you like the way that you should be treated because of the way you talk to everyone else. But today's going to change for you, buddy. Like, I can see you do that. And, like, same if you meet someone that has a similar interest or has similar, like, so obviously you listen to a lot of podcasts and YouTubers and that kind of thing. Yeah. You are attracted to certain people without knowing them just because they have interests and, whatever that fits your, oh, I like this kind of group.
Yeah.
But I think everybody does that to some level. Like, it's just for you, there's no filter when you meet them.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with filter, like, having a filter in general. Like, there are times at work where I say things and the reaction I get, I kind of think, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or people will laugh but think that I've been, like, they'll say, like, oh, that was a bit harsh. And I don't really understand why. I get that quite a lot, where I haven't realised that I've been what you'd consider rude.
Yeah, you make, like, inappropriate jokes, or you say stuff that is sensitive to someone, but they don't realise that it's sensitive to them. For example, like, I'm sure he won't mind me mentioning this, like, if he does listen to this or if this ever gets out, but one of the guys we work with's mom died a bit ago, but you make dead mom jokes around him all the time and, like, directly related to him.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that I think initially tipped me off that you might be on the spectrum, is watching you do that kind of stuff. Because I know that's not normal behaviour, and there's no part of your brain that's saying to you, don't make a joke about that. Like, I know that that shouldn't be joked about, like, which is one of the things that I guess makes me, like, not stand out as someone on the spectrum, because I would never make that joke because I'm aware of the fact that making that joke might be seen as insensitive.
Yeah.
But that's not because, like, there's that part of my brain that goes, don't do that. I just weigh up the evidence. So the thing is if I'd have ever heard him make a joke about it, then I would be like, it's fine, he does it, I can do it. But the trouble is, before I knew about that, other people had told me about it and warned me about it and, like, said stuff. So I've got that, like, backup of knowing that maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Obviously, like I said, I used to watch a lot of telly and movies and that kind of thing, it's where I got a lot of my social cues from. Like, if you watch a lot of TV and movies, you see, like, a whole range of emotions being acted out for certain situations, and a parent dying or someone not having a mom, every time that comes up in a movie, like, it's never a humorous, like, funny situation. So I got it in my head that that is something not to do. So like that's how I structure all my interactions with everybody.
Yeah.
Is I've seen it. I've watched it happen and then made notes, basically, like made mental notes. Like, I guess one of my other, I suppose, autistic superpowers is my memory is really good.
Your memory is really good.
I only have to hear something once and I'll remember it.
Yeah.
And I only have to, like, I can tell you what someone was wearing or what happened the day, like, if we go to, like, a restaurant we've been to before, but we went to it, like, 3 years ago, I can tell you what we were wearing when we went last time and what we ate.
Yeah.
Which is how I think I managed to get through school normally, because even though I wasn't listening, I pick up the key points and my brain would somehow record them, which is good because I couldn't revise for exams or anything like that because I can't read stuff. So like it just went in during the lessons, hopefully, and the stuff that didn't, which is why all my grades, I think, were like C's and D's, because I wasn't listening in lessons. But when I did dip in and out of the lessons, those bits stuck. And that just happened to be enough to get me through my exams.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the same with films. I remember someone like talking about their like dead parents and it being like a sad scene. But the only reason I know it's sad is not because like of that. It's because they've used like sad music like, you know, they've made it rain when it happened or something like that. So in my head, my brain's gone, so this is sad. If this ever comes up again in a conversation, this is sad. And this is this person, it's causing that person like great like pain to talk about it. So don't talk about it. But then equally, you can use it to, I suppose, evil as well, because like you know it will upset them. So if you want to have like an argument with someone, you just think, bring that up because you know what that does, like because you've seen what the like thing of that is. So like I had like a recording of like everything that way. Whereas for you, I feel like it's different. Like you don't realize what you're about to do is not funny, is funny. You just want to make that joke. And in this situation with the person at work and the joke about like his dead mom, like he's okay with that.
Yeah.
And hasn't ever said like, that's not appropriate. And no one's ever taken you to one side and gone, Scarlett, you need to stop.
No, I
you
think...
need to stop making these jokes now because he's not going to tell you because it's distressing. But you need to pack it in. Like no one's ever done that. So like you took a shot and it was fine. Like nothing bad ever came of it, but I imagine there's been times in your life where you've done it and everyone's gone, ooh, no.
Yeah, I've got like one sister that's really sensitive, but I quite like I guess like one of my senses of humor is like winding people up, and I quite enjoy doing that. So I would make jokes to things that I know she'd be super sensitive about, and then think it was really funny that she was wound up, not really acknowledging that I guess was hurtful to her. Like I thought we were having a laugh, like I thought she was enjoying it too, but I think like on reflection probably she wasn't.
Yeah.
And same with my mum, like my mum's quite easy to wind up at times.
Yeah, whereas I don't know, because yeah, it's different. Like this is what I'm talking about. Like from like the way you're raised. For some reason, like I've decided that I need to blend in and appear normal and sort of hide what's different about me. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure at what point that happened.
Yeah.
Or at what point I decided that like this part of me is not for like public consumption. You know, I shouldn't have it out there. For people to see it. All I can think of is I used to get into trouble a lot when I was really young. So in trouble with my parents a lot for like my behavior, in trouble with teachers a lot for the way I was. And like I said, authority in general. And I think I was sick of like being shouted at or put in detention or isolated and like that kind of thing. So I figured that it would just be easier to appear normal. So like I just started building this entire structure and like fantasy personality that's not me at all.
Yeah.
But it's a good way. The trouble is like you get so used to it and it becomes part of your routine that it alters like everything. Like everything about me now is to fit this blending in things. So, like the way I look, dress, all that kind of stuff is it has to be a certain way. Like I can't leave my house, like, if, like, I don't look the way I was going to look that day, you know? Like, you know, like, some people can just nip to the shop in, like, their pyjamas.
Yeah. Or,
like, I don't own, like, tracksuit bottoms, and if I did, I'd never leave the house in them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't own, like, trainers. I don't own, like, what I would consider comfy clothing. I mean, I've got a bit now, because people have bought me it over the years, and it's just there. But, like, if the postman was coming, like, and I had to sign for a package, like, do you know what I mean? I'm out of the pyjamas and, like, into, like, regular clothes.
Yeah.
I can't just go out, like, oh, I just need to nip down the road to the shop. And it's all part of, like, the way I look is down to the way I'm perceived by, like, society. So that has to be the way I talk to everybody as well. It's got less since you get older, I think, because I'm not in environments where I have to be seen.
Yeah.
Quite as much as I was, so, like, it's a little bit more relaxed. Like, you can pretty much go in and out now. You can get out of your flat, go to a shop, go to a supermarket, and be gone before you, without having to have to talk to anyone. You know what I mean? So, like, it doesn't matter, but that still means that people are going to see me, so I'm still going to have to do my hair. I'm still going to have to, like, pick, like, the right clothing for, I mean, like, look at me now. Like, we've come to a park to do this episode, and, like, I couldn't have just thrown anything
on.
No,
you didn't.
Because there's people, like, walking past us with dogs, like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's people that are going to see me. Like, everything's got to be a certain way, otherwise it's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that in a way, though, because I actively make an effort every day to appear like I don't care about the way I look, because I don't want people to think that I've in any way made an effort and it's gone wrong. So I, like, you know what I look like daily. I don't really do makeup. I don't brush my hair or make any kind of conscious, like, I try and make it look like I don't care. But if we ever, and I don't really, but, like, if I ever go on a night out or to, like, a nice meal, it takes me a good 3 or 4 hours to get ready, and usually that will involve some sort of meltdown, because I'll have planned exactly what I want to look like and I want it to be perfect, and when one little thing goes wrong, that's it. Like, I'm a mess, because I feel like people are going to look at me, see that I've made an effort, and if it doesn't look perfect, I feel like it's hard to describe, like, I feel like I've failed. Like, I remember one night I planned false eyelashes, but I messed them up when I was doing them. I couldn't use them, so it took me an hour of walking around different shops trying to find a pair that I wanted to wear to then go back and get ready for this night out exactly how I'd planned it. So I think, like, in a way I have the same as you, but only for certain events. And it's probably a good thing, because for me it takes me hours if I want to be like that, which is why I don't do that ever.
Yeah, I mean, it takes me hours in the sense of I'm planning it, like, 24 hours in advance. So, like, I think it's slightly worse, like, because of where we work. Where we work doesn't have a uniform. So, like, that in itself is a nightmare. And, like, I've noticed that, like, on days where we're busier, so say, like, Saturday, Sunday, because it's the weekend and more people are off and more people are in, my outfits for the weekend are better than my outfits in the week, because I know I'm going to be coming into contact with more people. But if you ever, like, I mean, I'm kind of giving away a secret here about me, but if you look at the way I'm dressed on a weekday to the way I'm dressed at the weekend at work, you'll notice that my outfits at the weekend are nicer. My ones in the week are still good, but they're nowhere near the level of my weekend outfits.
That's interesting.
I think I wore, like, my checkered trousers on Saturday, which, you know,
you did.
They don't come out in the week. They don't come out in the week. Like, I'd never wear them, like, on a weekday. I'm not wasting them on weekday people.
No, it's really funny.
Yeah, and that's just something I have to do. And if I don't do it, I can't interact with people, and I can't fit into my, like, being able to put people into their, like, groups and interact with them if I myself don't look. And I think I look away that fits into a group as well. So, like, I've created whichever one of the 11, 12, how many personalities are, to be honest, I've never counted them. But whichever one it is, I've picked the one that's my favourite and made sure that my appearance matches that one. So, yeah, I've done that as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is kind of off topic of, like, looks and everything, but to talk about adapting, this is something I was thinking about the other day. Obviously, I'm management as well, but I'm newer to management than you. But when I first started, I kept my like sales assistant personality
mm-hmm.
as a member of management, and I was still quite, I guess my sales assistant personality was kind of shyer. I was maybe nicer to people in a way, and that's kind of what I stuck with. But then I had a meeting with our boss and she told me to be more of a battle axe, and I was thinking about it the other day, and as soon as she said it, my whole personality at work just changed. And if anything, like, in a way, I feel like I might have gone too far, because I do think, like, if you compare the me at work now to the me at work then, it's like two different people.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you have to be tough as a person, I mean, as a management, and like, yeah. I know you're not really like that outside of work, so I know that you do it because you have to, which is fine. Like, I think even though, one of the things I've noticed about Asperger's is when you tell someone I do it, so some of the things we're talking about now and have talked about previously, anyone that's neurotypical and not on the spectrum will sort of go, yeah, but I do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, which there's two reasons for that. One is everyone has, I think, some sort of autistic traits.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's got a few. You just have to have, like, enough to be classed as autistic. But I also know that some people do the same things I do, but the trouble is it becomes a bit annoying when someone goes, yeah, but I do that, because you realise that you're not explaining it properly. And it is that they do it too, but you do it on a way more exaggerated,
yeah,
like, intense level. But I think everyone that is management or in charge of, say, like, a team or some sort of leader in the job they do, to some extent, they have to be, like you said, a bit of a battle axe. Like,
yeah.
You have to be harsh. Like, you can have associates, but you shouldn't really be too friendly. I mean, like, I've seen that happen loads of times where there's a manager that's too nice and too friendly and just gets walked all over by the people under them.
Yeah.
So I think everybody, to some level, has to be that way when they're management and aren't like that. Outside of work, like our store manager in particular, I've seen her be tough with people,
yeah,
and like see her like proper like lay into people, but then outside of work, same person, like she's like, hey, you know,
yeah.
Like, she's nice because she knows that when she's at work, and she knows that like definition between the two, which is why she probably told you to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But even though anyone listening to this thinks, yeah, but I'm a, if they're like in management and go, yeah, but I do that too, what they don't get is to the level it is to you, to them. To them, it's, I'm at work, do this now, I'm in the zone, like, I'm at work. But for you, like, you'll get into work, you'll come behind the counter, and then in your brain, you, like, have to flick a switch.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, we're here now, get into that mindset. And it's good if you've got, like, the routines, like you said, with the way you dress, like, the way you're dressed now, to the way you dress at work, you definitely have, even though there isn't a uniform, like,
yeah,
you have set things you have to wear. And I think it's kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know, but it's not routine, but it's, what's the word? It begins with like an S. It means like, I don't know, it doesn't matter. Like, it means like ritual, not an S.
Ritual.
I was thinking of like sacrifice or like sanctuary. But yeah, you have the ritual of work, and the ritual for you is you have to be dressed a certain way and you have to wear certain things. And the second you put that outfit on, like, and getting back to like the superpowers of autism, once that outfit's on, your brain goes into like management mode. But like, say like now you're wearing like dungarees and like a t-shirt. If you wore dungarees and a t-shirt while you're at work, I think you wouldn't know
how to behave,
how to talk to people. But like, because you always wear, like, when you're at work, you always wear black, it's always leggings, like, it's always like a hoodie.
It's completely different to what I wear outside of work. Like, it's completely different.
Yeah, like, so I think once you're in that outfit, but I think if I put you in that outfit outside of work, I think you'd be more authority with just random strangers.
Probably.
And yeah, there's that kind of like, that's the thing. People at work that are management know when they're at work, I'm at work, I'm a professional, I got to do this. But for us, it's more sort of like, oh, like, I'm in this outfit now, I'm at this part of the counter, I've got my lanyard on, like, do you know what I mean? And your brain just goes, okay, so now we need to get into this frame of mind, like, but more so.
Yeah.
It's a more extreme level where if parts of it change, you're out.
Yeah.
Whereas for everybody else, it's more of a,
it's more of a mindset, but for you it's more of a, it's literally like a transformation.
Yeah, I think like as a whole this episode has more turned into how we adapt to...
Well, this is, I mean, to be fair, you said like the social chameleon thing, and that's like, it's way more complicated than we can talk about in an hour.
Yeah, it's difficult.
And we can come back to it. I've talked about the face thing, but there's loads of stuff I do. Like,
yeah.
I think I've mentioned it, that I'm good at reading other people's body language.
Yeah.
So like when I meet people that I don't know, I can do base body language stuff. Like you can always tell, I can tell what angry is, I can tell what sad is, but not because like there's that thing that most people have where their brain goes, they're sad. I look for like the way their face looks, or I look for like the way they're stirred. I listen to like possible tone. It's difficult if somebody comes in and is angry from the second I meet them, because the base level for that person is anger.
Yeah.
And I don't realize that they are, because part of me just goes, that's just the way they're talking. That's how they talk. It might take a different interaction with them, like later on where they talk normally, where I realize that it's different, but it's hard. So like if I first meet someone and they're angry, rude and shouty to start off with, that is how I'll see them forever.
Yeah.
And it won't matter what they do at that point on. I just think, oh, you're that angry guy. Like, you just get worked up about everything. Like, you're such a drama queen. And it won't matter. Like, it could be that one time and that's the only time they've ever been angry. But, like, I'll always remember them as that. Whereas if someone's calm and talks normally and behaves normally the first time I meet them, that's, like, my base reading for that person. And then I judge it from there. So the next time I meet them, if they're shouty and like aggressive and like the way they're stirred, the way their face is, I just think, oh, this isn't them normally. There's something wrong with them. And then like I take my time and I'm like, it's anger.
Yeah.
And like I said, with the movies, TV series and that kind of thing, I was like, I've seen this before. This is angry. And like same with like if they get upset. If someone's upset when I meet them, I just assume that's the way they talk. They always have a bit of a wobbly voice. like that kind of thing.
They're always crying.
Yeah. Well, no, crying I get. So if someone's crying, I understand crying. Crying's a hard one to not understand. But like for me, anger is just something that some people are just loud. So sometimes I mistake the fact that they're angry with this person's just loud all the time. Like, this is just a noisy person.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything of it.
But I would say that's, like, definitely another talent you have, because I don't think I have that. Like, I am really bad at judging, like, not terrible, and I can do it, but there are times where I'll be carrying on with a joke while someone's getting noticeably upset, but I'm not realising.
Yeah.
And then eventually they will walk off and I just go, oh, are they annoyed? Or I do it a lot, or I don't always realise if... I'm not very good at working out what people are thinking, like, if they're happy, sad.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, you won't be in, I suppose, like, that level, but, like, I don't know if you do it on a... Like, so what I do on, like, people that I know well, so say someone I've known for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, my reading has got to the point now where I can tell there's something wrong with them because they're walking different. So, like, you start noticing everything. So the more I'm around someone, the more I know about them. So, like, in relationships, when I've been with someone for a while, I can tell there's something wrong just by the way they've come into the room.
Yeah.
So, like, straight away, they'll sit down. And I've done it with you a few times.
You do it with me all the time.
Where I go, what's wrong? And you go, nothing. And I'm like, what's wrong? You're like, no, seriously, nothing. And I'm just like, no, there's something. And I know there is. And I'm usually right. You usually eventually, like, come clean and go, it's this. And I'm just like, I know. And it's the same with, like, if I work with someone long enough, I know. Like, I know something's wrong before other people have know something's wrong. You can just tell by... They have, like... Because everyone has, like, some sort of normal, like, level. Like, that they are all the time. And you can tell something's wrong just because they're not sticking to their routine. So I kind of apply routines to everybody else's behaviour. So everybody else has routine the way they are all the time. And if they differ from that, I'm straight in there with this. Because I think it's causing me... Like, it's annoying me a little bit. So, like, yeah. I don't think it's, like... It's not that I care... Or it's not that I'm, like, worried about their, like, whatever. It's because they're messing with, like, what's supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
So I need to get in there and be like, what's up?
Yeah.
And I know that you can't just go, what is it now? Why are you doing this? Stop this. I've learnt to go, what's wrong? Something's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. And then they tell you.
And then you can go back to the routine.
Yeah, a lot of people just want to talk about it. Once they've talked about it, they feel better.
Yeah.
And then they'll go back to normal. You know, they're like, thanks for the chat. And you're like, that's fine. You know, like, that's what I'm here for. But really, you've kind of followed your own, like, selfish agenda to get things back into the, like, clockwork, like,
yeah.
way of things. But that's the only reason I know, and I guess that's why I've done it over what you've done it, is I don't like, like, disturbance in, like, the order of things. Whereas I think for you, that is not a factor in your daily life. So you haven't bothered to learn when someone's bothered or when someone's upset or, like, that kind of thing, because it's not relevant. But for me, it's annoying. If I know someone, there's something wrong with someone, because they're not doing their normal thing, I can't leave it alone. I can't just be like, just ignore them. Like, yeah. just ignore them. You know, like when someone tells you, no, they're just an attention seeker. Like, they just want you to pay attention to them because this is what they do. They're fishing for it. Doesn't matter. Like, every time I'll be like, what's up? Like, I know that's, you know, that's what they're after. And I know it reinforces whatever the hell it is that they're up to.
Yeah.
But I don't care because it's messing with me. Whereas I think for you, your routines that you've made for yourself through, like, the day, that, it does not factor into it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just don't notice. I'm really, I guess, oblivious to that.
Yeah.
Which probably isn't a good thing, but...
I don't know.
I get annoyed if someone doesn't tell me. Like, I never understand it. If someone's got a problem or they're annoyed, I don't understand why they don't just say that to me. I am not very good at, like, hints, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but that's normal. Like I said, that's a trait in itself. Like, I think that's one of the things I noticed about you is your inability to pick up on social cues. You know, like, when someone's trying to get you to ask them something because yeah. they're dropping, like, huge, massive, elephant-sized hints. And, like, most people with Asperger's don't notice they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, they just sort of go, okay. Like, oh yeah, it's a shame, I've got a, say, like, you've got a car,
yeah,
when you would had a car and you were driving, like, people just be like, oh, it's a long walk home, there won't yeah. be any buses for another hour and a half, like, oh yeah, I live right near you, don't you have to pass mine to get home. Like, for you, you're just like, yeah, I live on this street, you live here, like, I think it's like a mile and a half, or I have to wait for a bus, it's about an hour, and like, yeah, buses can be unreliable, like, or I'd have to walk, and you'll be like, yeah, but it's a nice day, like, walking's fine, like, no part of you gets what they're getting at.
No.
And that is, like, I suppose, a really, like, dumbed down example of, like, Asperger's in general, but yeah, that is what it is. You don't know what people are actually asking, because they won't outright just say it.
Yeah.
Which is everybody does that. Everybody does that to some level. I don't pick up on it, but I think once you get diagnosed, like, you can say to someone, look, I've got Asperger's, don't beat around the bush. Like, yeah. if you want something from me, just ask me. But the problem I have is because, like I said, because I blend in, people forget I've got it. So then yeah. I'm back in the same boat of them just like, oh, I tried to get him to do it, but he just was having none of it. And they think that their hints are so massive that you purposely know exactly what they're doing, but are choosing to be like, nah, I don't know what you mean. Like, when really you do know what they mean, you just don't want them to know that you get it.
Yeah, I think, like, well, I think what this episode has kind of summarised is your ability, like, in comparison to me, you are a lot better at adapting, reading people, adapting yourself to how other people are. Like, that's definitely just that is I guess your burger talent, like, you yeah. are. And it's a weird one because it's kind of the opposite to what people associate with people with Asperger's. Like,
well, I think how it happened is because I think that my Asperger's was the thing that caused me trouble. I think it's the thing out of everything I've ever done, I think it's the thing that got me into the most trouble with everybody. It was the hardest thing to deal with. So I think it's an indication of that, that the thing I'm good at is doing the exact opposite of what I naturally want to do.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm good at all of that. And it didn't occur to me until, you know, after you're diagnosed and after you look it up and after you know what it is, you then realise, wait a minute, like, that's all the stuff that I hide.
Yeah.
Like, all the traits that I found that were relevant to me and all the things I read about Asperger's that I knew I had, I was like,
that's all the stuff that I try and keep hidden from everybody.
Yeah.
And it was just a weird, like, realization that I just sort of go, so I've taught myself how to not do all this stuff, and that's mental, that my brain has decided that these are all the things that are getting you into trouble with the world, basically. So we now need to think of complex and ways to deal with them that the end result looks like normal behavior.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, I mean, I know you've got the skills. Like, I used to joke when people said that, like, what, can you draw, or can you play any instrument, or can you look at something once and remember it perfectly? Like, I used to joke and just went, look, everyone with autism, like, some people just don't have any talents whatsoever. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing that exists that, like, that's just something in the film. Some people have it, some people don't, but it's not really an Asperger thing. But like you said, I've got this. I'm pretty sure you've got something. There are a few things, and I think you'll figure them out. Like, once you're diagnosed and once you've spoke to someone, you'll find stuff about yourself. Like, I thought I was, like, completely average.
Yeah.
Like, when before diagnosis, I just thought, like, everything about me was, like, dull, and there was nothing, like, unique in me in any way. Like, I'd look at things people could achieve, like anyone that could, like, play an instrument, or anyone that could sing or draw or was good at a job, or, like, good at, like, numbers, or, you know, could write stuff, like, that kind of thing. I always thought those people, like, had that unique skill, and I was just talentless.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing. But then, like, once I got diagnosed and they told me stuff, you start realizing all these things that you can do, that you're like, oh my god, yeah, I can do that. And I feel like that'll happen for you. There are things about you, though, that, like, I think it's impressive you can do that. But I guess it's more me, because I've taken more time. Like, I only told you about this Asperger thing with you, like, what, November?
Yeah.
So we're only in May now. So, like, and you've not been diagnosed. So for you, we're still learning where your strengths and weaknesses are.
Yeah.
But I think they'll come. Like, there's already things we've figured out about you that we're like, oh, yeah, well, you can do that. You can do this. So,
yeah, it's interesting, because your way of, I guess, covering your Asperger's is like I also have a way of doing it, but it's just your way is completely different. It's interesting that there are different ways to go about it, but I think it is a talent, like, what you do and how you adapt. And like you said, like, you put all of your sort of intelligence into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of effort. Like, doing what I do is a lot of effort. Like, it drains me to do it on a daily basis. Like I've said before, when I take a week off work, I don't go on holiday. I don't go to see family. I basically just shut myself in my flat and do not leave.
Yeah.
And spend time just not doing any of it, because it is a massive drain. Like, I like to go, like, days without ever making, like, a noise out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Because that's nice.
Yeah.
And it's because I need, not recovery time, but, you know, I wouldn't have realized that, like, before diagnosis. I'd have just carried on doing what I'm doing, which is why I think things ended up the way they did, you know, like, just everything was a struggle. But now I'm aware of the fact that what I do takes a lot of energy, and, like you said, a lot of focus, and, like, I use a lot of my intelligence into just being able to interact with people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm aware of the fact that every now and then I need a break from that, because it's stressful.
Yeah.
Like, I want to talk about obsessive thoughts. Rumination, because I think that's a big thing for both of us. So I feel like we should do an episode on that. But obviously, like, when you decide it's time to do that, because that's how this works. But I feel like we should, because we've both had mental anxieties about stuff that, and I believe they're a side effect of not having that time to yourself and not having a calm down, where your brain decides to think about something minor and then turn it into, like, this huge, ridiculous, like, all-consuming, like, thought process.
Yeah, I mean, I have obsessive thoughts pretty much all day, every day.
Yeah, and I think that's a side effect of, like, you being undiagnosed and, like, not dealing with what's happening with you, because you don't know what it is and don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
Like you've said, since I've been talking to you and giving you, like, coping strategies and that kind of thing, that those kind of mental thoughts have died down a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, we'll do that. We're not next time, because I don't get to decide. But
at,
like,
some mystery point in the future.
When the time feels right for you and you want to bring it up, I feel like that's a good topic. So I think that is definitely a
side effect or symptom of like me blending in and you doing what you do is there's this like weird negative thing that happens because of it.
Okay.
But I think that's it. Like I said, this topic is way more complex, and I'd like to, like I said, when you give it your blessing, to come back to this one again as well and go into some more detail about some other strategies.
Sorry, it was a bit jumbled, but I thought it was good to just kind of talk it out.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. All right, cool.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.